B-Pod Studios.
App. This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's an extremely hard worker. Nobody works harder than Cam does. He's here early, he stays late, and he works very hard. You know, some players like to work on things that they're good at. You know, like if you're strong on the bench press and you just keep throwing more weight on the bench. But Cam's the type of player that, you know, works on things that he's not as good at and really tries to improve on a daily basis. And that's something that I really respect about him. Like, that's not easy for players, really any of us, to do. Is something, look at something that we don't feel like we're very good at, or it's not one of our strengths, and put extra time into it when he's worked extremely hard in all those areas. You know, he's got a great personality, you know, very social, and has a great, you know, presence, and he's highly competitive. He's very, very competitive on the field. He always wants to do his best and do better than the guys competing against. And I think there are different degrees of it. And, you know, it looks like based on what I've seen, I would put him in the, you know, top echelon of that. But his competition extends way beyond the field.
Wow. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And as I was saying before, that's Bill Belichick heaping praise on someone who is not retiring or isn't a punter. He's talking about a guy that he was even hesitant to name as his starting quarterback yesterday, Cam Newton. I don't think until Tom Brady left this team, I've heard Bill Belichick say that much nice things about him straight for that long. And I think that that's just part of it. I think he went on for almost a full 2.5 minutes just overpraising what it sounds like, Mr. Cam Newton. But I mean, maybe just from the outside looking in, that seems gratuitous. But we've got, of course, Mr. Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. He also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will Brinson, does that sound to you like a middle finger towards a certain ex-quarterback that used to be on this team?
Well, you know, it's hard to hear. The power's flickering. There's a big lightning storm in the area down here. sorry, I can't. I don't really care. I was, like, tracking and thought about tweeting. But, yeah, I mean, no, I think, you know, one of those – look, there are – you can find lists around the internet. Various people have compiled them. I think Robert Mays did one for Grantland maybe back in the day. But, like, there's a Bill Belichick All-Stars – / Bill Belichick Hall of Fame / dudes Bill Belichick has like gone out of his way to praise, whether they're for his team or whether he played against them. I mean, Ed Reed is the first name that comes to mind.
Oh,
of
God, yes.
Right? Say, like, enough great things about that guy, yeah.
He's like, oh, like, you know, say, like, you get the press conference, you get like the transcript of Bill Belichick's pregame press conference against the Ravens. It's like 7,500 words on Ed Reed. Reggie Wayne, Randy Moss is a guy that stood out to me. I mean, obviously, he had great success when he got to New England. But, you know, Belichick kind of praised him for things that you didn't expect Bill Belichick to praise him for. Like, he's like, Randy Moss is one of the smartest football minds you'll ever meet. And I think when Belichick does this with Cam Newton, not only is he, you know, he's, you know, giving Cam credit publicly, but think about the things that he says and the way that he's saying it. He's like, he's going out of his way to do things that he's to improve in things that he's not good at. Like, he's manipulating everybody psychologically to make sure they know that Cam Newton is a hard worker and is a great teammate. And it was hilarious. He's like, he's very social. I mean, like, by and large, I think that Bill Belichick is setting the table for people to understand that Cam's his guy and that there's no need to, nitpick about the things that Cam brings to the table that sometimes annoy people.
The only other thing I thought about that was, you know, if it wasn't to Brady, maybe Stidham was his guy. Like, maybe Belichick wanted Stidham to be the guy, and he's been disappointed with him and how things have been working out over the last couple of weeks. And maybe that's a message. Do you think that might even be a message to Jarrett Stidham instead of Tom Brady?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, look, I guess that really answered the question. I don't think it's a message to Tom Brady. It feels weird to me that he would like what's the shot he's firing at Brady? Like, see, he works hard. He's nice, and you know, I mean, like I mean, maybe it's the equivalent of, you know, when your ex posts a picture of them and like having a great time on Facebook or Instagram with their new boyfriend. Maybe that's what it is.
Sure.
You know, like Belichick's like, I mean, he works so hard, Tom. Yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, I like the idea of sending a message to Stidham. I really think that it's more about Belichick when he says these things publicly about players on his own team. He's doing it for a reason, and that reason is usually self-serving. So I would guess it's not to take it. Maybe it's to motivate Jared Stidham. You know, maybe it's to provide Cam. Maybe he senses that Cam needs that public endorsement at this point in time. You know,
yeah.
That Cam's done well enough that giving him that public endorsement will only serve to boost his confidence and establish him as a leader in the locker room. And so I think a lot of factors go into that. But Bill Belichick isn't going out of his way to ramble on with nice things about somebody on his team unless he's got a bigger purpose in mind, in my opinion.
Okay, so Will, there is a syndrome that Patriots fans have anytime that there is any kind of player that's available or is, you know, kicking and screaming to be, you know, released from a team that has any kind, at one point was valuable ever. You know, everyone's like, oh, well, Bill Belichick's going to go get him. Oh, he's going to be a Patriot. With Leonard Fournette, though, this is the one guy that you take a look at the situation, you take a look at the player, and you go, you know what? He might fit here. As a matter of fact, I think Vegas has Patriots as the second favorite. Like, I think Bears first, and then it's the Patriots. I may have that wrong. Joe can correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it goes Bears and then Patriots. Do you see this being a move that the Patriots might make for a guy named Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, a little insider info here. So whenever one of us national writers has to create a top landing spot for a player who is just cut, you have to include the Patriots. It's actually
to get the clicks, of course. Yeah, we all do that. Oh, he's going to be a Patriot. You know,
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and then the first sentence always has to be, doesn't this just make too much sense? But it kind of does make too much sense. You know, they have Sonny Michel and Damian Harris, obviously James White, Rex Burkhead. They're loaded with running backs. But I think Bill Belichick, as I've said all offseason, and I still believe this, is gearing up to go run heavy and to be a power run team and to utilize Cam Newton's strength as a runner and then put some power runners around him. In that sense, it does make, you know, it makes a lot of sense that you would go get Fournette and add a, you know, a talented, you know, body in that backfield. Now, on the other hand, if Sonny Michel is back and they think that he's healthy enough to run, if Damian Harris is as good as he has looked so far, or, you know, good as the reports have suggested he's looked so far in training camp, they might feel comfortable at the position. And, you know, Leonard Fournette comes with a little baggage, by all accounts, some locker room issues, and some, you know, just some stuff, some personality issues. And I said that taking Fournette at four was worse than taking Trubisky at two on Twitter yesterday, and I've been getting – people are so mad about it. I don't understand it. Like they loved Deshaun Watson in Jacksonville, and they took a running back over Deshaun Watson when they had – because they had Blake Bortles. And people are, like, furious that I would suggest that was a worse draft pick than Trubisky at two. And I don't get it. Like, why are people standing up for Leonard Fournette? He's been a volume guy. He hadn't been very efficient. He breaks off some big runs. But, I mean, like, he had 2,000-yard seasons. So, like, who cares? Like, he wasn't good. I mean, I just don't know that he's efficient enough for the offense on short notice. But, yeah, it certainly makes sense.
All right. Well, the big story in the NFL, at least this morning, is that Daniel Snyder has decided to turn over the internal investigation of his football team to the NFL rather than having the person he hired do it. What are the odds that Daniel Snyder thought of this himself?
0%.
Yeah.
Somebody... I think they hired some behind the scenes PR company that is like utilizing guerrilla like warfare tactics in the PR industry to make this work. Because remember when the article was coming out for the Washington Post, and then all of a sudden it's on Reddit, and it's like, I mean, there was a legitimate rumor that you know, Dan Snyder is caught up in something like Jeffrey Epstein related. And like, yeah. Those are the internet's like the rumors floating around the internet. Like, I almost think that like the PR company leaked all that stuff out as subterfuge. So when the actual article came out, people were like, oh, well, this isn't, you know, I mean, this is bad. But it's, you know, and like, I wonder if they're doing the same sort of thing. Like, hey, like, we need to, like, we're flipping everything on its head. Like, no one will expect us to turn this over to the NFL. You haven't done anything personally. You know, you'll be complicit in the sense that, you know, you were in charge and you owned the team and all this happened. But as long as you didn't do anything personally, why not let them investigate? It'll get everybody off your back. It'll make people think that, you know, Washington is actually interested in changing the culture. I really think that they've hired somebody, and we don't know who it is, that is giving them these, like, completely counterintuitive to what we expect. Maybe it's Ernie Adams, but, like, completely counterintuitive to what we expect from Washington from a PR perspective. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's smart. If you do – I mean – If you don't have anything to hide personally, it makes a lot of sense because you can sort of wash your hands and justify that you did a good job investigating it. If you do your own internal investigation, nobody's going to take it seriously. And so if the Washington football team is really trying to change their image, I think that is a step they need to take.
All right. How shocked are you that this preseason, with all the tackling and stuff they've been doing, not as much as usual, but they have been, how shocked are you that they haven't had an issue COVID-wise? Like, this is, to be quite honest, I'm surprised and encouraged, to be quite honest. I know that there's travel and everything that, of course, really changes everything. We've seen what's happened with baseball. But I have to be honest, I would have thought that there would have been, because even with baseball when it first started back, when everyone kind of arrived, there were issues. This is strange, isn't it?
It's wild. I don't get it. Like, you're telling me that every single NFL player has been on their best behavior socially, and that they are completely socially distanced. I mean, is it possible that, you know, these teams have said, listen, guys, you know, we want to win this year, and the only way to win is to have everybody, you know, on the roster throughout the year. So you need to figure out whatever you need to do to make yourself available. But it just doesn't make sense to me that all, like, everyone in the NFL would comply. That's the thing. I feel like somebody would have gone rogue outside that Seahawks cornerback who brought the girl into the hotel room. I'm very impressed by it. And it's a great job by these NFL teams and a great job by these players that they've created these sort of bubbles. And I'm not skeptical of it, right? There's no reason to be skeptical. You would think they would tell us if there were tests and everything. But it is wild. I mean, I'm shocked. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like an 8.5 shocked that there have been no outbreaks at all in these NFL preseasons.
Are there still, like, because I know for a while, you know, Sean Payton was a big advocate of it, but are they still potentially discussing having a postseason bubble?
Yeah, I'm sure that's still on the table. The problem is you have so many different teams because you have expanded postseason. So you have 14 teams. I don't know that you can take 14 to the bubble. If they're going to do it, it would probably have to be a little more creative. Like, you wait, you bump the Super Bowl back and you put 2 weeks between the Super Bowl and the AFC, between the championship games and the Super Bowl, and you put like 2 weeks between the divisional round and the championship games, and you just take, you know, four teams to the bubble. I don't know that you can do a 14-team.
Well, you do what hockey did. You have an East and a West. You know, like an East and a West. You have, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With hockey, you had the East, you had the West, and you divide it by the two conferences for football. And then, you know, the winner of each conference is then goes to the Super Bowl, in which they can quarantine for the, you know, 2 weeks that are in between it, and you're all set. I mean, that seems like an easy solution, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a little more complicated because of the size of the teams involved. But yes, I mean, that makes total sense. You put 7 teams in one bubble, 7 teams in the other bubble. And it's also going to depend, too, on, like, how have things gone, you know, once we get to December and January. If football is running smoothly and they're just not having tests week to week, I would doubt they're going to do the bubble thing. In fact, I think at that point, they're almost more likely to be like, you know, we're thinking like 60% fans, huh? 60% fans, you know what I mean?
Sure, like, I wouldn't put it past them. Yeah, you're right.
Right, exactly. So I would assume it is definitely on the table, but I think they're probably, you know, like they have all along, going to take a wait and see approach. Let's see how September goes. All right, September went great. We feel good about October. We feel good about November. And then, you know, if you get to Thanksgiving and you're feeling good, and everything's working, then maybe you're not as worried about the bubble. I'll be curious to see what happens, because we're, what are we, a week into school, maybe, you know, depending on what people are doing. I know that, like, there was an outbreak at a local private school here, or like a little cluster, and so, you know, does that, like, how does that, like, are there a bunch of these players' kids who are in school who, you know, it could be, you know, we'll have to see what happens, but I think by the middle of September, we'll have a pretty good idea about how NFL football will look like.
Well, Will, we are both hockeyless now, so.
Yep. Gotta just watch the, let's go see. Go Celtics.
Celtics, and may I recommend Cobra Kai? It's now on Netflix.
Oh,
if you didn't see it when it was on YouTube, it's excellent. That show is... I've only seen the first season. So it's from the perspective of Johnny, you know, who lost, and his life went to crap after the All Valley Karate Championship, and Ralph Macchio became like the super car dealer guy who basically owns the town, and Johnny is like the best, like you see him in like a crappy Camaro at the beginning, like listening to Poison, like he's still stuck in the 80s, and he has a crap job. Dude, it's great. Like I said this yesterday, somebody who cared way too much to do a Cobra Kai TV show wrote and directed this show. It's amazing. Like, it's really well done.
It's like a Back to the Future type of, like, they're like, all right, let's go check out this timeline. If he had won the thing, he's like strutting around the town like John Elway, but because Macchio took him down, he's, you know, stuck in his car listening to Poison.
Oh, yeah, it's great, dude. You got to watch it. All right, well, Will Brinson, right, of course, from CBSSports.com. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, see you guys.
All right, taking a call, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mine is Zdeno Chara, the captain, as he always is. 14 years, 43 years of age, 14 years of Bruin. Said in April he had no retirement plans, but his contract with Boston is up, so we'll see. It is likely the last time we're going to see him in a Bruin uniform. I hope you don't mind I shift gears from hockey. The humanity that this guy has, over his span of time in Boston, he's reached out to oppressed groups. He's made donations of time and food and clothing, as a lot of guys do. But if he were coming to your home for dinner tomorrow night, he'd want to talk about you and your family and not himself. He's a good soul, and you always see other people greet him for that reason. And a gallant player who did win a championship for Boston in his time. Perhaps you too have thoughts you want to share as well as he departs.
Be a real shame if it is his last game as a Bruin, Doc. And for all the things that you mentioned, he is just an absolutely fabulous human being.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, Joe Murray and John in studio. Man, listening to that, last night it was just obvious that the people at NBC Sports seem to believe something that a lot of people aren't privy to. I mean, everything there was in past tense. And, I mean, I think the word that he used was likely. This was likely to be Chara's last game as a Bruin. And that wasn't even the first mention of it at the end of the game. Like, in the second period, they said something as well. And just from, you know, from everything we've heard about the guy, we know his age. But, I mean, we also know that he's been doing this year-by-year thing where Chara gets paid $2 million with, like, incentives. And, you know, he's not been making a ton of money. So, you know, this is obviously the Bruins would want to bring him back. Now it sounds like, in the way that all these guys were talking afterwards, like Brad Marchand was asked about Chara's future as well and what he means. And here was what Brad had to say.
You know, he's an icon in Boston. And it's been, who knows what's going to happen, but it's a pleasure to go to the rink with him every day and see the dedication he has to the game and has had to the game for so long. It's difficult to do what he's done day in and day out, and the way he prepares and the way he still cares so much. And you know, he's one of the most, if not the most, driven person I've ever met. And you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best defensemen, one of the best players to ever play the game. He's unbelievable.
All right, and Ty Anderson last night, you know, he heard that as well, and we had him on earlier, and he said, for what it's worth, I don't think Chara retires. He said, but I honestly don't know. The amount of people in the know talking about it makes me wonder. He said, I know he started the process of asking guys like Recchi and Lindstrom and Jágr when they knew it was time a couple of years ago. And the more I think about it, the more I think that I think he's going to come back unless they start the next season in a bubble, which there has been talk about. Like, that's not something crazy. As a matter of fact, the NBA, John, as you know, and we've talked to Danny Ainge about it, you know, those discussions have already started.
Yeah.
Whether or not they would start, and it's not even whether or not, it seems like they're leaning towards having to start it once again in a bubble. And this is tough on these guys. You can hear all of them talking about it, and we have a load of clips of each one saying, you know, that we wanted to win this. And, you know, Brad Marchand sounded depressed because he's like, you know, we give up all of this and we did everything and we were away from our families and there was all this time that we waited and it was all for nothing now. And it just sounds like this is a kick in the ass, and at least they had a finite time that this would be over with. But if you're going to ask somebody to come back into the bubble, and if you're going to be in a bubble, there's not going to be a finite time unless it's the end of the season. You're not going to know when you're going to be able to come out. So I think if you're someone like Zdeno Chara and you look at that, you probably say, you know what, this is a sign. I think this is my last year, and I think I've done what I can do.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And we were talking about whether or not he'd go to another team. And I guess that's technically an option, but
He'd never do it.
Well, that's one. That's one way of looking at it. And the other is if the NHL is going to a bubble and the Bruins don't offer him a contract, he's going to retire anyway. Either way. I mean, you're saying that, you know, if there's a bubble, the other team situation would be taken off the table entirely.
You know, I'm seeing that if there's a bubble and the Bruins offer him another guy, I don't think there's any question.
No, either way. What I'm saying is either way. You know, if even a thought of going to another team, he wouldn't.
Because he does seem on the fence right now, and last night, you know, I should play the clip here. It wasn't very long, but, you know, he was asked whether or not he was going to be coming back, and here's what Chara had to say about that, right, wherever the chair is right here.
I haven't made that decision. I'm obviously just finished the game, and, you know, I'm going to be open-minded.
Okay, to me, that obviously sounds like this is something he's thought about before. We've seen this happen a lot of times with a lot of different players. But I just believe that if they have to start the next season in a bubble, he's not coming back. I mean, that's a lot to ask somebody, especially someone who's already on the fence. If things start where you're going to be at the TD Garden, then I think he's back. I think he'll say, why not? Let's go for another ride. He knows that all these guys, except for Torrey Krug, are probably more than likely going to be back. He likes this crew. They were the best team in hockey for the regular season. And he might be thinking, you know what? If it wasn't for that stupid break that threw all of us off, hell, it threw off the teams in the West as well, and everything's all jacked up, then maybe they would add a shot. And he might think that, you know...
You're also, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to make sure we get this in. I think Don Sweeney has more to say about what Chara does than anybody else. If Sweeney starts going in the direction of, well, the window has closed, we need to start retooling before this team ages out, then Chara will say, well, I'm not sticking around to finish third or get the eighth seed in the playoffs.
I don't think he's cooked, but he's definitely on the 18th green. All right, he's definitely on the 18th hole. I think he could probably play another year if they needed him to. But I don't think he could be a top-line defenseman like
that. No, not a chance.
They're paying him peanuts, essentially, for, you know, for in hockey dollars. They gave him $2 million last year. And I also think that if they are going to be bringing in new blood, there's really no better person than having Zdeno Chara there. At least you got Patrice Bergeron, obviously, when you took two guys that you want to look up to in this league on how to do it right. At least you've got, you know, like the pillars, two dudes right there who can be that. But, I mean, you can't underestimate how valuable he is to new guys that are in the league. You hear all these players say it. We've had DeBrusque talking about Chara's influence and just the work ethic that that guy has. So that helps having a dude like that if you're bringing in young guys, and especially for as I said, next to nothing. And he would do it for next to nothing, unless it's in a bubble. Then that's a lot to ask anybody. I think there's going to be players who, if there's a season that begins, and we, as I said, we talked to Danny Ainge about this with basketball. If a season begins for these guys, I don't know how many players are going to be all in on that. I think you're going to have people, you know, like star players going, man, I don't even know. Heck, I mean, football's not even in a bubble, and there were players that didn't want to do it. And they would be at least be able to visit their families. So I don't know. We'll see. It stinks because the Chara one, for some reason, would hit me worse than the Brady one. The Brady one you saw coming from a mile away. For an entire year, you knew that things weren't well. You knew that they didn't offer him an extension. But in this case, like Chara not being on the Bruins, man, and then the fours closing on the same the same day. I mean, it's like just rip out Causeway and throw it in the trash. It's like two things. Just two things that just meant a ton. You thought were always going to be there are unfortunately going to be not there anymore. I still think someone swoops in and saves the fours. There's got to be somebody. I mean, that place has got too much history, and there's too many famous people who have gone in there and loved that place. Who the hell knows? This thing sucks. All right, 617-779-0985. John, there is a show that is reuniting that I know was one of your favorites back in the day.
Oh, hell
a
yes.
A television show reunion. I need to get your take on it, my friend. We'll get to that and everything else right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Now, more Toucher Rich. Toucher Rich. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich and John Wallach. What you got, Dale?
Stack sponsored by Window Nation. Rich is Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
I have been getting tweets all morning, people saying that, yep, they called it last night. As soon as they saw things weren't going in their direction, as soon as they hit overtime and they was all tense, they're like, you know, I know we're going to lose this game. And they said, you want to know why? It's because of the curse.
Hi, this is Catherine Tappan, star of Nesson.
Star of Nesson.
Everything is awesome.
Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions. Stanley Cup champions.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold. Dale Arnold.
Backhander, and a big St. Thomas rebound score. Joel Ward on the follow-up bid. Wins the game for the Capitals. The Capitals put an end to the Bruins season.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
Time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
Rust will send it all the way down, wide of the empty net, and that's it.
Hi, this is Dale Arnold.
And the Bruins season comes to an end at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens.
Dale Arnold.
The St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
Shoots, they score! Victor Hedman wins it 3-2 for the Lightning in double overtime.
The curse of Dale Arnold.
You left out the crock of crap part because it's a crock of crap.
That was a curse.
Mm-hmm. It happened again. We were destined. It was fate from the beginning of the season. The minute you turned on Nesson and you saw him right there on the green screen, 6 feet away from Billy Jaffe, and that's not because of COVID. That's because he didn't want to get any curse stink on him. He said, you know what? This is not going to end well.
Sure.
So, listen, I've got nothing against Dale Arnold as a television broadcaster. No problem with that. But they're not going to win until they move him to a different sport. They got to like have him go to the Red Sox. Red Sox aren't going to win anything, so just put him over there. Have him and Tom Karen switch places. No,
Tom Karen's a wall. That's not going to happen.
He's do something because
he sees a wagon. He's going on like 37 straight years doing that job.
Well, listen, you know, to that I just say be better. As he texted her,
I walked right into that. That's on me. Sorry, Tom.
I like Tom. He's fine. I thought that was kind of weird that he texted that one time or tweeted that to Jim Murray.
Yeah.
But either way, it's real, and I'm telling you, you think it's a joke, but I guarantee you, the very moment that Dale Arnold has moved to a different place, that's not Bruins, like somewhere else, they're gonna win. I mean, you can't tell me that in the past years they didn't have like last year. Like, that's a team that should have won the Stanley Cup. They should have won that.
They should have beaten St. Louis in five.
Yes, they should have, but they couldn't because of Dale Arnold. It's worse than the Madden curse. Look at the track record. It's as soon as Catherine Tappan leaves, she moves on to bigger, better things. Catherine Tappan does an amazing job over there on NBC Sports. It's great seeing her on there. I love seeing her become successful, especially because she did the all-time greatest Toucher Rich bit, What's Tappening. But Dale Arnold, it's a real thing. The track record speaks for itself. You heard the evidence right there. They are cursed while he is indeed there doing the Nesson pre and post game. And John smiles. I can hear it through my headphones.
Hey, Rich. I have, some breaking news when it comes to tonight's Celtics-Raptors game. We have a real wrangle.
Foster. Scott Foster's calling this one.
Hang on. I have to guess.
There are three referees. Foster's one of them. Who else?
He's out.
I think it's Foster, right?
No, I just said it's Scott Foster. It's death if he did. But he's not doing this. It's worse.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Tony Brothers.
Oh, no, not Tony Brothers. Oh, Jesus.
So just bet the Raptors.
Lay it in. What's the spread?
Everybody bet the Raptors.
Lay it in. What's the spread?
The spread's 2 right now. 1.5 Raptors.
Oh, no, Raptors. Five
so
or
the Raptors,
more.
The Raptors are favored tonight?
Favored by 1.5
The Raptors win tonight.
In the past 10 playoff games when Tony Brothers officiates a Celtics game, they're 2-10 straight
Oh, that's
up.
A death.
They're 3-9 against the spread.
Tony Brothers of all guys. Him and Foster are the two worst.
And you know what you knew? You knew just watching that game the other day. It was too easy for the Celtics. Mm. So if there was any game where if you want to go conspiracy and you want to figure out a way to try to even the stakes, Joe... They did it. They got you.
It's called the extender. That's what they call these guys, the extenders. But they also get Zach Zarba, too.
You know who Zach Zarba is? There was a game. I'll never forget this. There was a game in Chicago where they called a bogus foul on Marcus Smart on a Jimmy Butler shot with no time left, and the Celtics up one. And that was Zarba made that call. Butler made 2 free throws, and the Celtics lost by 1.
Tell me more about the Zarba. That's a name that I heard you where you said, John, but I'm not familiar with him like I am with, of course, Tony.
These two guys are the two refs tonight.
Yes, they're on the same officiating crew.
Toronto by double digits.
Yeah, I'm saying
that's a 10-point spread tonight.
Let me just say this. The Celtics did beat the wrangle with Foster. But again, that was the 76ers.
Every once in a while, a blind squirrel.
Barely covered by 2 points.
Toronto wins by a lot. It's going to be 1-1 when we come back.
Now, the other thing,
tomorrow,
too, is the Wrangles, the other night, the Wrangle went against Denver, but it went to a Game 7. The Wrangle was in effect last night. No. So these guys are now extenders.
Maybe brothers. Maybe you can overcome brothers, but the two of them together were screwed. We're not going to win. It's write it down.
And I tweeted out the NBA ref playoff foul standings. For anybody who wants to see those, that's where we get a lot of this information.
That sounds specifically like there was a hit job put out on the Celtics, does it not?
Absolutely. And Tony Brothers hates the Celtics. Going back to the Doc Rivers days, man.
No, true.
Tony Brothers isn't the one where allegedly Doc Rivers used some sort of homophobic term, right?
I'm not sure, but I do remember.
It was a story that was never confirmed, obviously, but that was something there was a history between him, and I don't know if it was Tony Brothers. But I do know that, Tony Brothers, that's the number one name that I know of. All these other guys, I know Scott Foster's obviously bad, but the Zarba guy, Well, I don't like that at all. I don't like it one bit. Because you knew that, and this, by the way, the Raptors don't have a very good history in these game ones. But, the Celtics have essentially had their number even in the regular season. So I thought that there could be a chance that you might get another, possibly a double-digit win for the Celtics. I wouldn't have been surprised. No, it's not going to be easy.
No, they're going to lose.
But not tonight. Tonight.
And by the way, Doc Rivers, that was Bill Kennedy was the ref that you're talking about.
Oh, it was Bill Kennedy.
That's not Tony Brothers.
You're right. Okay. By the way, speaking of the of basketball, I love these 5:30 games. They're phenomenal. You can't beat it. But there's all these people trying to criticize the ratings of the playoffs as opposed to last year. But they're adding in these games that are at 2 in the afternoon and whatever, and trying to. If you take a look at the primetime games from this year to last year, they're up by 25-30%.
Say people criticizing the ratings. There's really only one guy who's criticizing the ratings
at this point. And I'm no one's obviously looking at the numbers. The primetime games, if you compare them to last year, they're up Like, people are watching the playoffs. Yeah. A ton of people are watching the playoffs right now. And there's going to be a lot more people watching it because it's not going to be going up against any hockey that they want to watch if you're here in Boston. But that's the best thing is that, I mean, that's the strange thing is I've seen these people like criticizing the ratings. I'm like, well, they're adding in, I mean, how many people can watch a basketball game when it's on at 2 in the afternoon when you're at work? And 5:30 is going to be tough for a lot of people as well. That's why, of course, you can listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub right here when you're on your way home from work. But I saw that, and I'm like, that's not really accurate. The playoffs are doing fairly well, and the basketball's been excellent as well.
And Jimmy Butler was outstanding last night. And maybe we can get into this at some other point, but Danny Ainge has always wanted Jimmy Butler. He always tried to get him.
I don't want Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's inconsistent.
Okay, and when he's in the Eastern Conference Finals, like, you'll want him. Trust
me. Listen, that team is great. That team's good even without Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a great player. He's very, very good. He just doesn't fit this team. And
he's also
–
it depends on where he's playing. He shot his way out of Chicago, forced to trade to Minnesota. You remember the stuff that he pulled up in Minnesota to get away from the Timberwolves.
Hey, it worked.
Hey, congratulations. It did work. You got yourself to Miami. But I'm not sure I want that guy, considering the guys we already have on this team.
In hindsight, they got a good little thing here.
Yes.
You had Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, and in the end, Kemba Walker was a better fit. It worked out.
They haven't won anything yet. Now, I even the other day when we were talking to Mike Gorman was saying that I'm buying the hype with the Heat. The Heat's been a good team since the beginning of the year.
Well, hold on. Look what happened in Milwaukee game one against Orlando. Yeah. How'd they look? How'd they look against the Celtics game one of the playoffs last year?
They threw out a bio. They got Andre Iguodala at him.
Giannis missed 8 foul shots last night and took only 2. Well, I know that.
My point is
it's not going to happen again.
Okay. Well,
and he only took 12 shots last night. That also is not going to happen again. Let's see. Let's see where we are in a couple of games. I think you're writing off Milwaukee real fast.
I'm a little sour on Milwaukee as well, and it's not because of last night. It's been before that. They've been off since they've arrived in Orlando. I mean, they don't look anything like they did.
They lost one game against Orlando and then won the next 4.
How did they look in the regular season?
Because they had nothing to play for.
Oh, come on.
They had nothing to play for. They were so far ahead of everyone else. They didn't care about that.
He's defending Giannis.
I can't believe you guys are writing off Milwaukee this fast.
I'm not writing them off. I'm just saying that they are not the team that they were. There's something off there, and Mike Gorman agrees. There's something off with that team.
They won
since
55 or 57 games.
Hey, who was the best team in hockey this year before the All-Star Bowl?
I think the President's Trophy is a little bit different than the best record of the NBA, don't you?
I think it's almost the exact same thing, just a different sport. I mean, I'm telling you, we've seen this. You go in and you're the cock of the walk before
all
the
those years. Man, Golden State had the best record. They just fell flat on their face, didn't they?
There was no 3-month break between that and the playoffs. I'm telling you, there's something off there.
Okay.
There's something off.
Yeah. The something of the walk? I missed
the cock of the walk, baby. That's what you say.
That's a 1950s saying. Usually I would be saying something like that.
Yeah, the cock of the walk. All right. Well, I do want to get to this before we're done, because I know this is something that I know John Wallach was going to be a huge fan of. There's going to be a brand new one-off reunion television show, and I don't know if this is the theme or not.
Now
but
this is a story all about how my life
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They're getting a 30th anniversary reunion special on HBO Max. 30th anniversary. It means Wallach was 40 when it was on.
I'm so excited for this. I love this show.
You guys watch some crap. You know, you didn't have to watch these shows. You didn't have to watch this.
It's a good show.
I thought it was a good show.
Fresh Prince was a good show?
Yes.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
To be quite honest, I'm not going to argue because I didn't watch it enough to know if it was a good show. So I actually don't know.
It's a good show.
All right.
I'm in.
I'm sure it was fresh.
Yeah.
So I guess that they're doing this thing that's going to air around Thanksgiving. It's unscripted. It's basically a reunion show. But I guess, so no one in the family's died?
Uncle Phil has passed on, yes.
Uncle Phil, by the way, the voice of Shredder in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoons. The whole family's, except for him, who's dead. He's getting back together. It's Alfonso Ribeiro, and even DJ Jazzy Jeff is going to make an appearance for a, quote, funny and heartfelt night full of music, dancing, and special surprise guests in honor of the series that ran for 6 seasons and 148 episodes. So there you go, John. You get your little flashback, and you can put on your old pirate shirt and your Z-Cavs and relive your glory days when you're trolling. You're just cruising for babes.
Damn right.
All right. Oh, man. Well, we made it through this morning. I'm sure that Zolak and Bertrand will have a little more postmortem coming up for your Boston Bruins. But the Celtics right here, 5:30. So that means that, what, Sean Granny and Max on at 5 o'clock? Is that when they're going to start?
Yes, sir.
All right, they'll be on at 5 o'clock. And you're right here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Joe Murray, I will see you tomorrow. John Wallach as well. We will talk to you guys then. Bye.